turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money at Menards. Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome.
Hi.
Carrie, welcome to In the Hype Seat. Thank you so much for joining me.
I'm excited to be here.
So tell the good people how, first of all, can you say your last name for me?
Paisy.
Paisy.
Yeah.
I feel like
it's so easy.
It's so easy, but I feel like the way it's spelled, it's like, isn't it there? There's like an I in there. There's a.
Yeah. P-A-I-Z-Z-I. Well, it was my married name. So I don't mean it's still, I mean, it's my name now, I guess. But, and my son's name.
I'm so dyslexic that I like in my head, you're Carrie P. Yeah. And I will never get your last name right. And you're Nobody Carrie does. P from Flavor. And yeah. You wear the dress with the menus. And that's like in my head, your identity. From a marketing perspective, like how you can associate certain logos and certain things with people. Yeah. And for me, in my head, the very first time I met you in person was at the Flavor launch.
It was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago, yeah. The one at Evo. Yeah. I think I just had Desi. So backing up, tell the people what you do.
So I wear a few different hats. One of my hats, my babies, I have several babies. One is Flavor, South Florida, Restaurant Month. The second one is Monarch Marketing and Design, which is a marketing company. It's a boutique marketing company. We do social media, web design, graphic design. And then I have a Monarch Music, which is a music booking talent agency where we book musicians locally. Okay. So I also have a real baby on top of that.
Yeah, I was like, do you have kids?
Dog baby. Little babies.
Do you have a boy or girl? How old is he?
He's 13.
Oh, I know.
And he's really cool.
What's his name?
Jack.
Jack Paisy?
Jack Paisy.
Let's go. That's got it.
Name.
Let's go. Okay. So last time I saw you, you brought up I feel like I know you pretty well. And you brought up the music booking business. Yeah. And we were at the Pod Plus launch, right? So you can book live music through you, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about the before we jump into all the other stuff, tell me about the live music, like how did you describe it? Music booking agency?
Yeah. So the long story of the short of that is that one of the restaurant clients I was working with, the marketing company, said, I want to bring music in here. I was like, yeah, okay, let's book some music. And some of my friends were in bands. And I said, hey, do you guys want to play at this bar Friday night? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay. And it was a very nonchalant, casual situation of me just trying to help my client. And then it just kept like growing. So then other restaurants were reaching out to me because they were like, hey, could you book music for us? And then other bands were reaching out to me. And they're like, hey, could you help us get into such and such restaurant? Then I found out, you know, you have to be licensed and bonded to do this in the state of Florida. So my partner and I, then I met Mike, who is now my partner. So we run under Night Owl Agency, which is his talent agency. So it's completely like on the up and up, and Monarch Music is the piece of it that like I try to help the musicians with like banners and business cards and their like EPK, their electronic press kits. So I try to do that for them.
That's so interesting.
It's a lot.
Sounds so intense. You have to be licensed in Florida for what is the license
to book the music
that you have?
It's a talent agent license.
Oh, interesting.
That's all it is. It's a talent agent license.
Is that through like the state?
Through the state.
Like DBPR?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you have to take a certification course for that?
Yes.
Very cool.
Licensed, bonded. You have to pass a test. There's a whole thing.
What do you need to know about representing?
It's more or less like to make sure you have morals. You know, it's a very, there's a lot of morals involved. You know, if you're, people's money or negotiating their pay rates. Is it literally a talent agent? Like think of like a sports agent.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Oh, sure. And you're kind of a custodian also of interesting.
So we write up the contracts, what you can do on the stage, what you can't do on the stage, what we're expecting of you, the timeline of when you're playing, What are you going to do if it's raining?
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's a whole situation.
Yeah. I feel like it's funny. As we're talking about this, I feel like if Hallie, my chief of staff, who's like also my right hand, mutual friend, and I'm saying that for anyone listening to this that doesn't know, Hallie Rosenthal, shout out. I feel like she's listening to this right now going, Hallie, you're not starting a talent agency. Like simmer down. Like I'm like, well, what's the licensing? Like, I feel like that's so interesting.
You kind of just roll with the punches.
That's so interesting. But that also seems like an industry that is so relationship based, right? Like is that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, because a lot of the musicians that I know which personalities forget about just their music, their musical talent. Their personalities come into play a lot, and I know which ones are going to work in which venues or their type of music. Like, are they country heavy? That bar is only really likes reggae. So you really have to put a lot of thought into placing them, because you could put a really great band in the wrong venue and it's going to flop.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where I think my partner and I are really good at, like, we both have such great brainstorming phone calls, and we're always like, oh, like we're working on New Year's Eve right now. And we're like, oh, who should we put where? And yeah, all these bands are available, but is that the perfect fit for this venue?
Yeah. So my partners, newly formed partners, I have a real estate coaching platform called Real Estating. Yeah. And we're putting on I feel like you'll appreciate this. We're putting on a camp. It's called Camp Real Estating. And my partners, the camp counselors, and I were just on a call, and we were kicking around what if we could do a live music type thing, make it kind of like a campy country.
Oh, that's fun.
Well, we were talking specifically about how the theme is camp.
Right.
And then like what type of live music you would align with that, you know? Like, like it's interesting because in this day and age.
I pulled some 90s, off the top of my head.
Well, it's funny, like you're going to need to, I thought of you immediately because it was after you.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, yeah, we need to like give you the budget and the whole thing. But anyway, with the way short form video and TikTok and Instagram and Reels has emerged, the mashup between song and content is so interesting right now from a marketing perspective. Mm-hmm. And if you're a talent booker, music booker, I'm sure you can actually do that. Do you find it easy to match?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm always
totally
scrolling on Instagram, trying to find the right song for the vibe. Like, usually, are you good at that?
I work backwards with that. So I kind of usually pick the song and then I create the video.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just works better for my brain.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I want to use this song because maybe it's trending or maybe it's just a good vibe for that page.
Yeah.
And then I put the video together.
Oh, that's interesting. I feel like I'm always doing it the other way. And it's not.
I think most people do it.
Because it's usually you're tasked with like a goal.
Right.
I feel like you and I could talk about that all day long, being content creators and like all the.
Is this not a 5-hour podcast?
Right?
Like, I mean, we can do it.
Seriously. What's interesting is that you and I do this professionally.
Yeah.
Right? Marketing, content creation, digital marketing, whatever it is Monarch does, whatever it is Hype Boss does. Like, you and I, in theory, should be. Your business with Monarch and mine with Hype Boss should in theory be competitors because we allegedly do the same thing. We don't.
But it's funny because I watched you go from, in my brain, a realtor, like straight up. I'm like, oh, Hallie Meyer Lucas, she's a realtor. Boom. And there's a lemon.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, when I have met with new clients, and I'm talking before we even like knew each other, I just knew you, who you were, you know? Mm-hmm. And I used Drew as an example.
Oh, really?
Several times to people.
Like my real estate marketing?
To them branding, just very simple, plain and simple branding. When I see a lemon, I think of Hallie.
Oh, I love that.
So, and I would bring you up a page and I said, look, she does a fantastic job at this, at branding herself. Your yellow, your purples, your colors, your, this even to down to the script with the neons.
Yeah.
Right. That is all embedded in my brain because you do a great job at that.
Oh, I love that.
And so, but
that's such a big compliment,
but it's true.
It's intentional. It's a compliment it's so intentional.
Yeah.
Like when our listings with my real estate business, when our listings hit the MLS, I want people to immediately recognize them as a Meyer Lucas listing.
Yeah.
Like we use a certain Pantone for the skies. Even.
Oh, I know.
Like we edit. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah. When I'm scrolling through, cause you only have 2 seconds to capture somebody's attention or even make them pay attention. So when you're scrolling through, I know right away that it's yours just based on the color. Cause my brain has been trained to know this because you did a good job at that.
Thank you.
And it's funny because like I've seen you evolve from realtor to doing the podcast to doing different pieces, like the social media, the PR. I mean, you started here. Am I wrong? Right.
Yeah.
It was started as realtor, but
yeah.
So
yeah,
that's 100%. Where I find you and I are so similar because we find what we love and we kind of just like snowball it. We're like, yeah, let's try it. Sure. Why not? What's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think, I mean, I got my real estate license. And I am not ashamed to admit this. And I talk about this often. I got my real estate license because it was the lowest barrier to entry into a marketing career. Mm. And I wish I had just at the beginning, I wish I had just had the wherewithal to stop and go, well, what do you like about being a realtor or being in real estate? Because it's all about the marketing and the PR. And at the time, social media was just emerging as like Facebook ads were finally available to civilians. Yeah. And I just saw like how it was the easiest way to, into a marketing career. Mm. And if I had just taken a beat, I could have just beelined it to HypeBoss,
right?
Instead of, you know, taking the journey through real estate. I don't regret it for.
But I think there's a reason we take those journeys.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
We're learning, we're doing, and we're kind of like just navigating and tweaking as we're going.
Yeah, totally. I think, careers in real estate though, that is a common denominator among creators who are realtors. It's like they see, I mean, even in like growing up in the 90s, like you would see the top producers on the buses and the billboards. Yeah. And it's like, you're marketing yourself as a real estate agent. Personal injury attorneys do that too. Here, like they're very, yeah. And they're very like, but the barrier to entry is so high. It's like going to law school is almost out of the question. I love that Monarch is an emoji too.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that when I did that.
Really?
I did it really in honor of my grandmother. Cause her and I used to go to Butterfly Gardens all the time when I was little. And it's just, I wanted something with the letter M to go with marketing. It took me a little while to get to Monarch.
Oh, interesting.
I was actually in the car talking on the phone with a friend and a butterfly flew past me. Fun fact, I currently actually have milkweed in my yard at home and I have a lot of monarchs and I raise butterflies in my yard. It's a whole situation.
What?
It's a situation.
It's a situation.
It's like another job, to be honest.
That must be so cathartic. Like,
well, then
for
I
how intense our jobs are.
Because I don't want their little cocoons to get eaten. Yeah. I don't want them to get eaten or hurt. So then once they go into cocoon, I move them to the cage.
Oh my God. Okay. So butterflies, monarch, yeah. Marketing and okay. The thing that I really want to ask you about is really about flavor. And so first of all, as a serial entrepreneur and creator, I am obsessed with flavor as a concept for not only a business, but like a platform. So you bought it from Brianna, isn't it, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did she start it originally?
She did.
What's the history there? And for anyone that's not familiar with a restaurant month, like give it a full send with like describing what it is and.
So
you have the mic.
Okay. Longest story.
Take it
short.
Away.
I'll toot it.
No, longest story long. Long story longer. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh. It's a long story then. No. So Brianna started Flavor in 2007 after she was at going to New York City Restaurant Week, Miami Spice.
And Brianna like, she's a mutual friend.
Mutual friend.
But
she just lives
mom
here.
Blogger. Yeah. Mom blogger.
She's a mom blogger. Now she has a page called Palm Beach Moms. Mm-hmm. So after she went to Restaurant Week in New York and Miami, she came back here and she couldn't figure out why we didn't have one. So she said, I'm going to start one. She went to the restaurants, a couple of them. So I found some files. The first month, the first flavor in 07, there was 12 restaurants on.
Wait, she started it in 07?
07.
Holy smokes. No. You're coming up on a 20-year anniversary.
Get ready for that.
Carrie, I love that.
Already planning it.
That's okay. So by the way, restaurant months are fair. I would say they're fairly common. Yours is by far, I think, one of the biggest. Is that right?
Demographically, coverage-wise,
yeah,
we are the largest in the country.
That's so crazy.
I just fact-checked that the other day.
That is so crazy.
That
and
is
I believe
true.
That. It is so substantial.
Houston
but I mean, like,
is like right behind us.
That is
like
crazy.
90 miles. I think we're number one in the country.
Dude, that's remarkable. We will circle back to that. The point I was trying to make is that concept, like I feel like a lot of even like, I feel like Jupiter even has a restaurant type, like it's small municipalities do this to support,
yes.
to support their restaurants and to, right. I mean, that's the point of it is to, the point of it is to make people go to restaurants. Is
that's
that
it.
Fair? Yeah. Like
that's
drive
it.
Traffic through the door.
Go eat.
Yeah. However, back in 2007, before real social media, right? Like Facebook was only 2 years old at that point.
So it's funny you said, no, there was no social media. There was no Instagram.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's only Facebook,
right?
And it was university based.
Yeah,
you know?
So she had a Facebook page and then she took out ads in the Palm Beach Post and the Sun Sentinel and just word of mouth.
That's remarkable.
Think about that.
Yeah, like how, that's remarkable.
How do you get that word out in 07?
Yeah, and you're going physically in person into the restaurants that's to like get them to meet with you. Like meeting with restaurant owners, it's not lost on me how
not easy.
Hard that must be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting them to buy in also on a concept that's fresh. That's remarkable. I need to have her on the podcast. I love her so much.
Yeah.
She's so smart. Every interaction I've had with her, which admittedly has been minimal. She's really close with Hallie, obviously, because yes. we're business partners with Let's Get Social. Uh-huh. But every interaction I have had with Brianna, she is so brilliant.
She is.
Like, I feel like everything she brings to the table is valuable.
Like, she's just lovely. She is a great human and so happy too, because our kids became friendly and they text that. Each other. It's cute.
I love that.
And there's a lot of similarities in my son and her oldest daughter, which I think is adorable. But
I love that.
Yeah, she's just a good human.
Yeah, she is.
You know?
Yeah. Okay, so she starts it. And then when did you take over from her? And did you approach her with that? Or how did that happen?
So, okay, let me back up the story here a little bit. So when
I'm telling you, make a long story longer. We love a long story.
I'm trying to get my timelines right. Here we go. So when I first moved to Florida in 2010.
Wait, where are you from?
New York.
Oh, I knew that.
So 2010, I started working at Capital Grill and Gardens as their assistant marketing director. So I didn't plan on getting a job when I first moved down here. I wanted to be off on vacation for like 3 months or something. I had money in the bank. I saved up to move down here with no plan. I was like, my mom lives here. I'm like, I'm just going to chill at the beach for a couple months and relax. So I threw my resume out just to see what was biting, and the Capital Grill contacted me very fast. And I was like, well, I can't say no. This is a really great opportunity.
Yeah.
So I take
what's
job.
What's your background in? Like, did you
go to restaurants college? My whole life. I've started working out in a deli when I was 14. And I left that deli as the catering manager in 2010. And I still keep in touch with them up in New York. And then I started, and I was working at a steakhouse in New York doing 600 dinners as their head maitre d'. And that was when I was 16, I started working. I just always wanted to make my own money.
Yeah.
So these two, the steakhouse and the deli, were next door to each other and both across the street from my house. I walked to work. I just like wanted a paycheck.
Where are you from in New York?
Long Island.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So like, I didn't want to ask my parents. I grew up in a pretty affluent neighbor area on Long Island. Mm-hmm. And my parents both worked, and I recognized that they were doing the best they could, and we got allowance, but I wanted my friends to had more money than I did. And I was like, well, I want to go shopping too on the weekends and keep up with them, you know? So yeah. I bought my own car. I did all that. And then I always just got into the work field. And it was also cool because when you're working in the food industry, when you're 14 years old working and people are hungry, you're going to get some tough skin.
Oh yeah.
And same for the steakhouse. I mean, the amount of people I have encountered in my life at those two jobs alone is insane. And yeah. I keep in touch with some of my customers from 25 years ago that I used to give them their coffee and bagel every morning. I'm friends with them on Facebook, and they're like, hey, how you doing?
I love that.
It's wild.
Yeah, I love that.
And all
that.
My old coworkers, I keep in touch with everybody.
Where in Long Island are you from?
Jericho, Nassau County. So okay. It's like 30 minutes from the city.
Yeah, I actually know where that is.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
It's a very small town. There's 180 people in my graduating class.
I think we had a client that relocated from there, because I can picture actually, I'm so dyslexic. So I picture might
know
them.
You know each other forever.
I'll have to go. What did your, parents do?
My parents, my mom worked, she was a social worker at a girl's facility, like a live-in facility. Oh, wow. And then my dad worked for the MTA in Queens from 1970 until he retired 3 years ago. He started as a bus driver and then moved up to dispatch, and he retired as the general superintendent. So
no way.
Yeah.
Dad went from being a bus driver to being the superintendent.
That's how he met my mom.
Stop it. I love that.
She was a CPA before I was born, and she went on the bus. She didn't kill me.
I love it.
She went on the bus to go to work. And my dad was the bus driver. He's like, hey, like, he drove her every single day.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, stay on the bus later. And she did. And they went on a date, and here I am.
I love it. Oh, that's so cute. I love that.
Yeah.
So, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you worked from the second you could. So
always in restaurants, always with people. So I think that's the important part. Always with people. And so then when I came here, Capital Grill, got the marketing job, really cool, great. I got pregnant with my son in 2011. stayed on with Darden for years after I had my son.
Darden is
the company of that owns Capital Grille and Seasons 52, Eddie V's. They own a lot. Mm-hmm. Maybe they still have they might still have like Red Lobster.
I just saw a resurgence of Red Lobster.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
No, but I love their cheesy biscuits.
Okay, so they like declared bankruptcy, were closing.
Yeah, that
right?
I saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's some kind of revival, and now their CEO, and I could be wrong about this, I gotta fact check this later. I either dreamt this, or this actually happened. And when I
hope it happens.
Do you dream about marketing campaigns?
Sometimes, yeah.
I will come up with the best ideas.
True or not.
I will come up with the best idea. So the other day, you know the Duolingo bird?
Yeah.
It's so brilliant. I'm obsessed with it. So brilliant. When they killed it off, it streamed throughout the day. I thought that I had dreamt that. Oh, that's so funny. I had a dream that the Duolingo, from like a marketing perspective, isn't that brilliant. I forget who I was talking to, and they were like, that happened. Like, that's not... I was trying to take credit for it. Anyway, Red Lobster, there's some kind of like resurgence that's happening with Red Lobster.
Be on the lookout.
I digress. Carry on.
I just want their cheese biscuits.
I've never had their cheese biscuits.
Stop.
I feel like everyone always says that. And I'm like, I agree with it.
I'm getting you cheese biscuits.
Transparently, I've never had their cheesy biscuits. And I don't think I want a cheesy biscuit.
Oh, you do, but you do. You do. They also have a box, I think, at Publix of Red Lobster cheese biscuits. You can make them at home.
Okay.
If I can find those, I'll make them for you.
Okay.
But I'm gonna get to the bottom.
Are we gonna
of this.
Get an endorsement deal from Red Lobster?
I hope so.
Didn't you do something with flavor where you had like Taco Bell on the route or something? Did I make that up? Or Chili's?
You made that up, but I did do a TikTok once during COVID about Taco Bell that went viral.
Oh.
Did I tell you that story?
No, maybe that's what my memory did though. No, go ahead though.
That's a call. Do you want to know the crazy story? Random.
Yeah,
story.
Go ahead.
Okay, so during COVID, I went down this TikTok rabbit hole where I needed TikTok rehab.
Wait, what do you mean you went through TikTok rehab? What do you mean?
I need to TikTok rehab because I kept being on TikTok and I couldn't stop.
Oh, you mean you need to like go to, literal rehab because you're addicted to TikTok.
Yeah, it was bad. During COVID, I was like 2020 to 2022, I was on TikTok like a crazy person. Making TikToks, watching the TikToks. So.
Watching the TikToks.
I go to Taco Bell to drive through, and it's Super Bowl Sunday, and I ordered 100 tacos and I just videoed. I said, hey, I'm here at Taco Bell. I'm ordering 100 tacos. Well, that thing went viral.
Wait, then, why?
I don't know.
Is it normal to order 100 tacos?
Maybe not at the drive through.
Okay.
So I was like, hey, I'm here at Taco Bell. Let's see if they oblige and give me my 100 tacos. And people shared. It was like...
Wait, so is it still up?
Yeah, somewhere. I'll send it to you. Okay. It was like a couple hundred thousand. It just went wild. But now there's thousands of comments, okay? Thousands. Yeah. I don't know what made this one particular one jump out. I haven't ever told anybody this story. It's a weird story. This guy.
We love a weird story.
Oh, it's weird. This guy, right? He writes, I'm homeless and I'm hungry. Can you help me? And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, what do I do with this? Is this guy serious? I said, if you're serious, yeah, I will send you food. He's in Orlando. He's homeless. Okay. Now he's DMing me. I'm like, is this crazy?
Wait, is he actually homeless though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I look at his TikTok. He's a real person. He's probably in his early 20s, I think. So I DoorDashed him pizza and a soda to some motel in Orlando.
Oh, I love that.
Well, his TikTok. Before, I might cry when I tell you this story. Before I sent him the pizza, never showed his face. And the reason was he had really bad teeth. So the day he got the pizza and the soda delivered from me, he made a TikTok, showed his face, and he said, I've never showed my face and I don't know you and I'll probably never meet you, but I hope you're watching this video. You're an angel. Thank you for sending me this food. I haven't eaten in a couple weeks. Okay. Fast forward. He got so much confidence to go get a job. He messaged me, got a job. He bought new shoes. She had no shoes, or his shoes has holes or something.
Ugh.
He went and bought shoes, sent me a picture of his shoes. He's like, I'll remember you for the rest of my life. Thank you so much. I'm like, what?
That's incredible.
All from my Taco Bell video.
That's incredible.
And all it made me think was, wow, I can afford 100 tacos from Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And that guy can't. And it helped him get a job and get on his feet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. God, so, that's incredible.
So that happened.
Dude, TikTok is as a platform.
That was wild.
As a platform, I think that the biggest, there are a number of takeaways from that, but the direction I'm going to go with this is that it, the ability to reach people that you, there's no world that exists where you're probably trying to target him as an audience.
Right.
For your, right. And not because he can't buy anything from you, just in general, like you're probably not thinking of like man in Orlando who's staying at a motel,
right.
But the algorithm is so smart that it knew that he would be entertained by your content. So it served mm-hmm. it to him. It's the algorithm is remarkable from a marketing perspective. It's very hard to identify who your buyer is in certain industries and within certain segments of like broad, with like broad products. I can imagine there are a lot of people that go to restaurants for flavor that you would never think to market to. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure with every demographic, we could say that, you know, I feel like with.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Flavor, I just try to hit the locals and just make the locals know like, hey, this is what's happening in our backyard. This year I am trying to speak a little to Orlando specifically because they can get on the Brightline and then easily wind up at a West Palm or Boca restaurant.
Yeah.
So we're doing some work with the Brightline this year to get like some advertising on their trains and stuff.
Yeah. The TikTok algorithm is remarkable because I feel like TikTok algorithm actually gets it right.
It does. That's why I was addicted.
Yeah. Going back to the journey with Brianna.
Yeah. So when I worked at Capital Grille, we participated in Flavor. We were a Flavor restaurant.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
When I first met Brianna.
Got it. Okay.
Aha. Uh-huh. Then I met her again. I left working for Darden after I had my son. And then I started working in Old Port Cove at their yacht club at a restaurant called Sandpiper's Cove, which was members only. And I was the membership director there and the marketing director there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So it was a cool spot.
That is a cool spot.
On the water in the marina. It's the best. And then imagine like to work there. I'd go there every day.
And I feel like also the buyers that we have
they're nice people in there.
Cool.
Yeah. Very chill.
Very cool people. Yeah.
So
that I actually could predict the buyer for.
You're right.
That actually,
it's the same people in there. It's a good community.
Yeah.
It's a great bunch of people. And being the membership director, I got to meet every single one of them.
Yeah, that's cool.
So met Brianna again there because I told them about Flavor, my GM. I was like, oh, we did this thing at Capital Grille. We did Flavor. We need to. So I reached out to Brianna then. I said, hey, this restaurant's private, but you know, can we do it? And she's like, yeah. So we did
then. Oh, she did it as a private restaurant?
Yeah. So there were like fine lines we had to be careful with, but people were allowed in to check out the restaurant for Flavor only.
Oh, interesting. It's a smart
idea. Because it's a private community. Otherwise, how are they getting into that restaurant?
Yeah. So smart though to bring fresh eyes into the
community. They did great with it.
Smart. Yeah.
So that was my next encounter. Brianna became friendly from there and she used to come in with her husband all the time. And when her kids were babies and she was pregnant and they would come in there for lunch, they were members. So we spent some time there. And then I started my own marketing company after Old Port Cove, they sold. So after they sold, we all left. So we all kind of went our separate ways. And then I started my own marketing company. And I think she put it for sale and I got an email and I don't know how many people got the email, but it was a private sale. It was never listed with business broker.
An email from
Brianna.
From her directly.
Yeah. And she said, I'm looking for someone to acquire Flavor. You came into mind. There are other people CC'd on this email, FYI, so you know, but you came to mind and I would like to talk to you if you're interested in purchasing it. I think you would be a good person to run it. So I was like, yeah, I definitely want to do this.
Interesting.
And crazy enough, and I was debating this piece of my story before I got here today. I had some medical things going on around that time that no one really knows about and nothing too awful, but it was not a fun time for me. And so it was crazy because the day I got some really bad news, Brianna called me and told me that I got Flavor.
No way.
And I started crying.
Oh,
and she didn't know really why I was crying. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the best news, because I was going through it. And I was like, it was like kismet.
Yeah. The word, like serendipitous.
It was very serendipitous. It was like, it was like the universe was being pretty crappy at that moment to me. Yeah. And it just, she came in with this news and she's like, I picked you. I'm like, you picked me? I'm like, really? She's like, you're the one who's going to take care of my baby the way I want it to be taken care of. And I was like, okay. So I feel like knowing that whole
Full body goosebumps.
Yeah. I feel like that whole situation, like that went down, it went down. So like, that was so meant to be that,
well, and for her too, I'm sure
it was hard for her,
God,
you know, that she built this thing up.
Yeah.
She started it. I talk about her all the time.
Yeah.
Cause you know, she, it's hard. It's a lot.
It is so hard to create something out of nothing. Like Flavor is an intangible business. Like it's like a concept and it's a platform and it's a lot of things, but it doesn't exist without someone, without an engine.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a product, right? Like it's not like
you can't just, it's not
like
something
a sports
you can touch.
Bra line or, you know, whatever. Which those require a lot of like oversight, but, Flavor is something out of nothing. It's like out of, you know, it's born out of someone's head, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so awesome. And
that's cool.
So I almost feel like the way it all transpired for me, I feel like I work so hard on this because of that. Because I'm like, I owe it to myself and to her and to the community to like do right by the program. And I just am so emotionally like invested into it, like in such a good way.
I love that. Like, oh, I love it. I didn't know about your, I feel like I know so much about you, and I didn't know that, that you had such a deep, such a deep background working in restaurants. I thought that you, I imagined that Brianna selected you out of a bunch of people that wanted it. Mm-hmm. And I imagined that it was because of your background in, marketing and PR, and that you were good at that. I didn't realize it was all the relationships in the restaurant space.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It is cool because I've actually, and even like before I took Flavor over, my mom and I, every September, we'd go on the Flavor website, map out our dinners. I mean, I've been a Flavor diner, a participant with the restaurants, and now, you know, running it.
Yeah.
So I like that also because I get to see each aspect. So when I'm looking at the menus and looking at how I'm presenting the programs to the community, I'm trying to look at it from the diner's perspective. I'm trying to look at it from the restaurant perspective and from the, my perspective, obviously, but it's good from all the eyes where I want everybody to have a great experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably really valuable, like really valuable to have.
Yeah. I'm lucky for that.
Okay. So this year Flavor looks like it's a beast.
Yeah.
This year. How many restaurants do you have participating?
I didn't tell anybody this yet.
Tell me.
As of today.
I'll keep it between us.
Oh my gosh.
Wink, wink.
All right. As of today, we're at 93.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay. So, tell me about your team. So I am familiar with Amber because she's helping with, restaurant owners have the opportunity to be on the podcast,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But talk about your team and then we'll circle back to that.
So Amber is the right hand, 100%. She's been with me since the day one that I bought Flavor. She's type A. She likes everything organized and documented. And I ask her permission for everything.
I love
like
that.
How you like she's your Hallie.
Yeah.
Like literally she's your Hallie.
Same. Yeah.
Like people are like, oh, don't you own it? I'm like, yeah, but I'm not doing anything without talking to Amber.
Here. Hallie runs it.
Yeah, I just work here. Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not, that's not
Did
my...
she work for Brianna too?
No.
Oh, got it.
So when I worked at Old Port Cove, I shared an office with a woman named Dolores. Dolores is Amber's mother.
Okay.
That's how I met Amber.
Oh, I love that.
Amber was living in Washington, D.C. at the time working in government type jobs. Dolores called me when I took Flavor and she says, Amber's looking for a job. I said, I don't have a job for her. She said, well, what if she helps with Flavor? I said, okay, I guess. But in my head, Amber's 16 years old. She's a little girl.
Oh, I love that.
Time had passed.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Amber's like my bestie. You know?
When you guys took it over, how many restaurants were there?
45.
So you've doubled it.
Did I? Oh, yeah.
I guess. More than. That's crazy.
45.
Yeah. Oh, I bet Brianna's so proud
Last of you. Year we had 70.
That's so cool. Dude, that is so cool.
I spoke to Brianna the other day. We always touch base and I'll see her she's coming to town next month.
She wants to hear about it.
She seems supportive of it. I don't think she feels any which way. I think she's super happy for me. And I think that chapter of her life is probably completed.
Yeah.
She does very well with the Palm Beach Moms blog, and that she's crushing that.
Yeah.
And she has her kids and, you know, so I think she, I think she's happy.
Yeah.
She's happy for
I was wondering if I, if I ever sell Myra Lucas, like what, like if I would want to, or if I would want to just not.
You may not care. Yeah. They think it's a personal decision. I don't know. It's almost like a, like an ex-boyfriend or something. It's like, do you want to peek at their Facebook or do you not care? Like,
yeah,
it's interesting. I think it's a case by case.
Yeah. It's really
interesting. But yeah, so in addition to Amber, I mean, she's my like full time. She's my, that's, she's my other half. And I tell people all the time, it's not that I have like a specific dedicated team per se, but I have so many people in this community that are excited about this and want to help and want to be involved. If somebody says, oh, who's on your team? Well, I go, well, Holly's on my team.
Oh, like, that's fair.
Right?
Yeah.
You know,
hell yeah, I'm on your team.
And I'm on your team.
Yeah, you are. You're on my team too. Yeah.
You know, it's like my friend Michelle, like, I mean, Kristen, who works for me at,
Michelle from
Jupiter magazine. Like, she's like,
I love her.
I love her to death. Like, I'd love to cheer her on. She loves to cheer me on.
I only recently met her in or saw her in person again at I forgot how, like, she's cool.
She's
really cool.
She's very cool.
I feel like her role with Jupiter magazine is so challenging. Like, I can't even imagine being the editor in chief for.
She is very good at her job.
Substantial of a. I feel like that is one of the most underrated publications in, because Jupiter is such a substantial community socially and economically. Like, there's so much to write about and there's so much to edit in. Like, her job must be very challenging. Like, the tightrope that she must have to walk between.
Well, her background is New York. She worked for Cosmo.
Yeah.
So I feel like she's just very good at what she does.
Yeah.
I don't know how she does it sometimes, but she has a vision. She sees it. She's, you know, and she comes up with these really cool story ideas and she's just very, very good at her job.
Very good at it. I can imagine it's hard to run a very small town because Jupiter is a small town at the end of the day.
It keeps growing.
Right? Yeah. It grows, I mean, every second, right?
Yeah.
But it's still a small municipality with major players, like major players. And, yeah, she does a really, really, I think she's really responsible with the editorial that.
Yeah, like the, completely.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, so and then my friend Sarah, she does the social media with me. Her and I are the ones who do Flavor's social media.
It's good. It's really good. You guys are really good job with it.
Thanks. I kind of just throw things up. I don't overthink my social media on my personal page or the Flavor page. I just kind of throw things up that make me happy and maybe it's a little aesthetically pleasing and. And it does all right. I mean, I think it's all right.
Yeah, it does so good. You're good at it. It feels so authentic. Everything you put up is so authentic.
Thank you. It is because I don't, like I said, I don't put like a lot of production into it. I'm just like, this is what I shot. This is, everyone's got these little likes, you know, the influencers, everyone has those lights and I don't use a light. And maybe
the ring
should.
Lights, yeah.
I don't use one. And I feel
don't
like.
Never have.
People are like, you don't use a light. I'm like, no, I don't know what to use a light for. But it's
for my personal, just to be clear, for my personal stuff, I don't like, yeah. If I'm being paid by someone,
well, yeah, that's different. That's different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so even like all the influencers I work with for Flavor, they've all become my friends. Yeah. They're like actually my friends.
Yeah.
Like if I'm on the phone with a big foodie influencer that you could think of locally, I probably was on the phone with her this morning, just like shooting shit.
Yeah. I love that.
It's not that that's what's really cool about this whole thing is that everyone
just
is involved and having fun with it. I mean, I want everybody to have fun with it and be a part of it.
I think one major thing that you've done, and this is not to say Brianna didn't do this, but I think you've really taken Flavor to a place of celebrating restaurants and like really celebrating the month of Flavor, like the month that is Flavor, like celebrating in a way, meaning like, it's kind of a party.
I like a party. I always do like a party.
I feel like the kickoff events that you do, all the events that you do around it, like it's a vibe. It's like, it's not a cool people only vibe though. Like, I really feel like you do a really good job of being very inclusive in your guest list and how like you curate the media that is involved. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you do a really, really good job of that because in our area in particular, being near Palm Beach and with the social dynamics that exist here, I think it's really easy to fall into the easy button route where you send a distribution list out to all the influencers that are like
I don't do that.
The mainstays, you know what I mean? Like, and it's really refreshing to me that that you, and speaking from personal experience too, like you invited me to the first, the one that you had at Evo.
Oh, right.
And I met you there for the first time, and I was probably invited off the back of Hallie and, you know, whatever.
But, no, that's not true.
But not for nothing. But not for nothing. That I would argue that people listen to what I have to say. And so it's smart of you to invite someone like me who is not a food blogger per se, and I'm not an influencer per se, but if I share about something, people pay attention to it. And I feel like I'm using myself as an example because I feel
think
like
you got invited just because like I wanted to know you.
You did invite. I'm being,
no, I think that's really,
so I'm being self-deprecating. You did invite me.
No, like, I know. I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I'm saying the reason I invited you, I think, was because I wanted to know you.
Yeah. Smart.
Like,
smart.
Like I just was like, she seems like a cool chick. Like invite
yeah,
her.
Yeah. Smart. It's really, really smart. And I can, it's funny. Like I always clock that when I get invited, cause my ex, from a, and I'm saying, I'm using myself as an example. Like this is not an egotistical thing. I'm using myself as an example because it's the common denominator example here. When I get invited to things, it makes me go, oh, they are paying attention because I'm not the normal, I'm not on any list. I'm not on any, they're paying attention to people that are actually of influence in a micro way, which matters for something like flavor. Mm-hmm. Like micro influencers are really what is going to move the needle for flavor outside of the like big influencers.
Well, yeah, because the big influencers, I mean, you could be hitting California. Those people are dining in Palm Beach.
Yes.
So what, that doesn't matter to me.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So flavors in, when is it? It's runs
September.
In all of September, right? Mm-hmm. Like the 1st through the 30th?
Yes.
Straight up September.
That's the whole thing.
And if there are 90 some restaurants, over 100 restaurants by the time, probably, how do you, can you do like morning new, can you hit them all? Like, has anyone ever done that?
No, no one's ever done it. I tried last year. Last year I was at 48, I want to say, out of 70.
Okay.
But I ate out every day, twice a day.
Have you met Alex Ordonez on my team?
No.
He is amazing. He's a foodie and he should be on your list.
He could be on my list.
He should be. So he does the Let's Show. He does the Weekend Vibes in West Palm Beach.
No,
he's such a good content creator. Anyway,
I look.
You should have him to your list. He's amazing. I am going to challenge him to try to eat
at every single one.
Every single one. Yeah. Would you support that?
I will give him $500 cash if he can do that.
Let's go. I'll match it.
Next year, I wanted to do some sort of scavenger hunt and maybe it's through an app or something.
Yes.
And I do want it to be a thing. I'm just trying to wrap my head around logistics of it and give people prizes.
A bingo card.
Yeah. And it's really easy. Like submit your receipts or whatever. Yeah, if Alex can do it, I'm right here.
Ouch it. Just for the
I'm down
for the fucking anybody hell of it. Okay, so $500 cash to Alex Ordonez.
Yeah.
Actually $1,000 because I'll match it. If he can, so he has to attend, he has to have a meal
at every single flavor restaurant.
At every single.
That's like three a day.
It is.
That kid has a job. I don't know if it's even possible.
He's going to make it.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
$1,000, like come on. So the pricing though, for that's a lot, right? Like, because these restaurants are they all nice?
Yeah,
they're all nice, right?
Yeah.
Like upper,
they're all nice.
Are any of them open for breakfast?
Yeah,
okay.
We have a few breakfast ones actually. Yeah,
okay.
a few lunch. Well, there's lunch. Well, he could do it. I think
he can do
doable.
It.
Doable.
He's 100% going to do it. He's like a
if he does a series and collabs me and like here I am today. I just can't. I would freaking love that.
He's hilarious, Joe. He's the best. I'm so excited to tell him about this. He's going to eat this alive.
Okay, like, let's do it.
Alex does
Game
flavor.
On. Game
Alex
on.
Is flavoring.
I cannot wait.
Anyway, okay, so it's hard to do the mall. Check. Do you ever put out I guess you have to stay impartial, right? I was going to say, do you ever put out a like must have or must hit these?
I don't personally. No, the papers do. Palm Beach Post does. Sun Sentinel does a little roundup usually.
What's the hot menu item this year?
It's funny. It's They're not, all the menus are not in yet, but they have a lot of fillets. I mean, there's a lot of fillets for like good prices.
Oh, I love a fillet.
So, like sometimes people think like, oh, you're going to get like chicken on these menus. Like there was like a lot of fillet.
Full offense to chicken. Full offense to chicken.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not in love with chicken.
I hate chicken.
But
I hate chicken. I can't eat chicken. I'll eat it, but it's like, I feel like I've never been excited about chicken ever in my entire life.
No. I mean, there's some tasting menus on there, like four or five courses for like $45. Like,
oh, I love that. What restaurant that is now new to flavor, that's a joint flavor this year, are you excited about?
I'm excited for, we have a lot of new ones, a lot. So I'll first say that, but I'm excited for Milo's.
Oh yeah.
Malka.
Okay.
Have you heard of that one?
No. I have heard of Milo's though. Really, that's the new one. That's in on right in downtown West Palm.
And then Salute, that new place also in on the island. Mm-hmm. I ate there for lunch a couple weeks ago. It was phenomenal. We have a lot up north too. So at Costa Dieste.
Oh, no way.
And at the Kimpton and Vero, their restaurants are participating. And Captain Hiram's. So if you want to do a little staycation, you could head up to the Treasure Coast.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So Costa d'Este, that's Gloria Estefan's.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Their restaurant's doing it.
In Vero Beach?
It's a trip.
Oh, so, Alex is going to be hiking.
And
this is fun for
they're
him.
They're also doing, well, they're doing, not only are they doing the dinner, those particular places, some of them are doing staycation deals for flavor. They'll have a flavor code on their website so you can stay over. For cheaper.
I love that.
Yeah. So it's a whole situation.
Okay. So if Alex is going to try to hit every single one of them,
he should probably just start at the top and work his way down.
Yeah. It's Vero to Boca. Yeah. So it's Vero to Boca.
It's really Sebastian. Oh, I don't know what's further north. Is it Vero or Sebastian? Because I think Captain Hiram's is the most north point.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the restaurants participating, so they submit their menu. It's a special menu. Mm-hmm. It's, is it a special menu, meaning they've created special items for flavor, or is it regular menu items that they're giving special pricing to?
Most of the time it's new. It's items you haven't gotten yet.
Okay.
Some of them have some that are normally on their regular menu and it's just a cheaper price. Mm-hmm. But I would say the bulk of them do creative new menus, or they'll do like a trial menu for season. Like if chef wants to try something new on the dish, they want to see how people respond to the dish. He'll bring that in for the flavor menu. So there's a lot of like creativity that goes into them, which is nice.
And then, are there any restaurants that do they ever submit anything that you ask them to revise?
Yeah, sometimes, but it's more like I'm not telling them how to do it, you know, like really, it's just more of me giving my data points from last year saying, hey, this price point really worked. Mm-hmm. This many courses really works a lot. Cause I get all that data back from the restaurants every year. So
how do you
know
get it back?
They all send me in there how many menus they sold and things like that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Cafe Chardonnay does very, very well with it every year, but I will shout them out for this. They have also been, they're an OG. They have been participating. Frank, the chef owner there, he is also on the FRLA, which is the Florida Restaurant Lodging Association. He had a great relationship with Brianna. Frank has been doing flavor forever, since the beginning, I think since 07. I think so. And so his guests like live for it, you know? So it's really cool to see that every year. People are like, oh, they're, because he does a good job with it.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people do a good job with it, but Cafe Chardonnay, I would say for sure.
Love that.
Yeah.
Great shout out. Who does a bad job at it? Just kidding. I'm just joking.
No, not that one. Everybody does their best job they can.
Everyone does the best with what.
Just what I tell my son.
With what
just
they have.
Do your best you can do. Do the best you can.
We love you, Jack.
But yeah, I just like, I'll recommend to them like what some of them don't know. They need a little guidance sometimes of what's like, what they'll ask me. I have a call with one of the restaurants tomorrow because he wants to run through his menu. He said, you know, I want to do this right. Can you call me? And I said, yeah, absolutely. So, and I have fun with it because I know food costs and all that because of my restaurant experience. Mm-hmm. And I think it's comforting to the restaurants to know that I was in their shoes in that part of it.
Oh, too. Yeah, no doubt. So, yeah. And also that you have such a deep background in marketing that like, you know, that it'll work. Like
it's going
to
work.
It's going to get,
it's going
to
work.
Yeah. What's your biggest challenge or what are your biggest challenges with flavor as a business owner?
I stress out every year that restaurants aren't going to sign on because we start letting people sign on in March. And I'm like, well, nobody's going to sign on. We're going to have to cancel flavor. This isn't going to work. And I was panicking this year. I don't know.
So funny.
And now we're like at 93. So
That is so relatable.
It's so ridiculous.
So relatable. And when I launched Hype Boss, my biggest concern was that once I launched this, like, are people going to want my help? Are they like, I was like convinced that half of me was, no, this is a good idea. And then the other half was like, no one's going to want this.
Cause it's nerve wracking.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
Totally.
When you have to rely on other people. Like you need them to sign on. And
well, I think it's also limiting beliefs. And like if you're, limiting beliefs, you know, like I always think that I'm smaller than I am and that I'm more insignificant than I am. Like always.
We all do. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so nice. I mean, people text me a lot and they say, or they DM me and they're like, I'm so proud of you. You're doing so great. And I'm like sitting there on my couch, like, you know, in my living room with my dog eating like freaking potato chips. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What did I do?
I love it.
I get that feeling a lot. Like, what did I do? Like, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
You're remarkable.
Just doing my job.
You're remarkable. Flavor is so freaking cool. And I am trying to say this delicately because I don't want to offend Brianna by any means, but I really, really think that you have taken it to such a cool level. Like it's such a cool, cool thing. Like it's the concept of it, is now, despite the rich history that it has, the concept of it is competitive too, right? Like there are other, do other restaurant months compete with you?
Well, down here.
Because restaurants, so, sorry, go ahead.
Well, so Delray has on the Ave, they're on Atlantic Ave, they have Delray Downtown Downtown Restaurant Month in September. So Delray Downtown Restaurant, I think that's what it's called, Delray Restaurant. Mm-hmm. So they have their it's just Delray restaurants. So, and we have some Delray restaurants on Flavor too, and they do both, and that's their prerogative.
Because when I say compete with you, I mean, because restaurants obviously are, I think it's no secret, the margin to run a restaurant can be
tight.
Struggle bus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like where you're allocating your marketing funds and whatnot. So to participate in Flavor, the restaurant pays you.
They pay a participation fee. Then I use their participation fee money and do my ad buys that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, if they're looking at the landscape for what they can afford for the year, is there a competitor like where it's either Flavor, like either?
No, not in our area.
There isn't. No. Is there like a restaurant week or like a, is there anything like that?
Lauderdale. So Delray has theirs in September. Lauderdale has Dine Out Lauderdale in September, and Miami has Miami Spice in August and September. It's funny, actually. So restaurants have asked me to start Flavor in August, and I'm like, nah, that's not going to happen ever. But it's nice because it means they are enjoying it and they know it's working for them.
I always think that Flavor comes and goes too quick. Like I feel like I always look up and I'm like, oh, I forgot to go.
I know. And I get the whole August start thing because it is a struggle in August for sure. But I feel like if that happens, if we did it for 2 months like Miami did, I just feel like it kind of loses the excitement. You know, it fizzles fast.
Yeah.
And New York City does restaurant week. Tampa does restaurant week. Some of them only do it 1 week.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like a month is fair.
Yeah. No, you know? It's my procrastination. It's a me problem, not a you problem.
Well, luckily for you, a lot of them last year, we had a couple dozen that extended into October.
Oh.
So we do. So a lot of them will extend into October unofficially.
Oh, I love that.
So people like you can get your calendars in order.
You should lean into that from a marketing perspective. Like, you know, there's like the secret menu.
Yeah.
Like a lot of,
that's what it is.
Like secret menu Flavor.
That's basically what it is. Come October, we put the list on the website. We're like, here, if you want to still go.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because in September now with Flavor expanding north, you can go to Sebastian all the way down to Miami and hit a deal.
That's so cool.
Through Lauderdale, Miami.
That's really cool.
Palm Beach.
And good for you for pointing to the other, good for you. I love that. That's really, really cool.
It's like crazy.
Yeah.
It's cool. Amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Our really whole cool. coast is just food all in September.
Yeah. I love it. So how do people find out about like what restaurants are participating? Is there like an app or a website?
We will have a master list put up on our website. August 1st is the goal here. Mm-hmm. At flavorsouthflorida.com. So we'll have everything. You could sort it by area. You could sort it by cuisine. You could sort it by distance from your house. Like it's pretty cool. And we're also going to put together a little Google map.
Oh, I love that.
So you can see it all in like a visual.
I love that.
And yeah, I'm aiming for an app one day. One of these, if you know an app developer, you send them my way. So I would love to have one because this way my vision of that is you can go on the app and put where you are right now.
Yeah.
And you could be like, oh, who's doing flavor? And you'd be like, oh, Ara's doing flavor. Lila's doing flavor. They're both like right here.
Yeah.
They're both doing flavor.
Yeah.
And Nemo. Like actually, and Blackbird. In this corner, there's like four restaurants. Oh. You have your work cut out
for you. I know. I love it. I love it. We have a very good little restaurant corner situation here.
This is like
here.
My favorite restaurant corner.
It's the best.
Honestly, when my friend's like, oh, let's go out to dinner. I usually wind up right here.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's
when I was
easy.
Looking for when it's I was good. Looking for the warehouse in my head, this theoretical warehouse that I was going to buy and turn into the mothership. This was the only street I wanted to be on.
Yeah.
Like, and it was like, it's either going to be that warehouse or that one or this one. And just sat and waited because of all the, it's like the restaurants that are around here didn't, I feel like the restaurants that have come recently, you listened to the episode of Steven, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like when he, yeah. So him opening and me, like, I feel like everyone, has the same affinity for this area of Tequesta mm-hmm. and Jupiter being so like blue collar. I feel like this little area is the beating heart of Jupiter. Like the best parts of Jupiter, it can be found on Cypress Drive and in the immediate like surrounding.
Yeah.
You know, like my neighbors are marine mechanics, you know, and then Ara, which has Bentley's parked out front, is like four doors down, you know.
Even Blue Point. I mean, I've been actually been working with them for so many years and they are amazing. The owner is great.
Yeah.
His sister restaurant is doing flavor. It's Sophia's in Hope Sound.
But Sophia's and Blue Point are
same
related. Or
yeah. Blue Point's awesome. They and Sophia's. Have you been to Sophia's?
No, but I feel like I've seen it. Like
it's
referenced
really good.
A bunch.
It's good. Well, because I do their marketing, so maybe that's
you
why
do.
Yeah,
I see them. I see
one of my they're one of my marketing clients.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they've been. He's been Blue Point's been my client since 2018.
Oh, no kidding. I have seen Sophia's very recently a lot.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
I'm happy to hear that.
I feel like on like Facebook groups, it's been like. Yeah. Recommended and
they have a little party room space and they're awesome.
Okay. So, did you listen to the episode I had with Ariella Sherman?
I did.
Never Not Eating.
So good.
So good. Love her. I'm using her as an example because you have a lot of lists, I'm sure, with your food bloggers that you do.
Yeah.
I mean, you lean on influencers a lot, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We all work together. It's great.
So your flavor events are always like, I feel like wall to wall influencers and all the people that people want to be like, it's remarkable. Like you do a really good job of inviting the fun people, people who are trying to be an influencer. How do they get your attention? Like, what do you look for in influencers that you've like never heard of, but they have a good following? Like what gets your attention?
So for me to like use them for flavor, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
for them to get on one of your lists.
They'll message me. They'll message me and ask like, how do I get involved in this? I want to be doing you're doing. So last year I created a influencer application.
Smart.
That's been super helpful. So I send them over the link. I look at their content. I mean, I'm okay with it being lifestyle because people eat dinner, right? That's part of your life. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a strict, like, oh, my page is a foodie page. Like you, right? You know, you could post on, you could.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want it to just be specific to food. Like you don't, that's fine.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure you're not showing too much, like with your clothing. Like I have to make sure of those kind of things, I think, because the restaurants are going to look right. And I'm the first line of defense to refer them and or vet them. And it doesn't mean your page is bad, but if you're mostly, you know, say in bikinis on the Instagram there,
when you're underwriting that.
Yeah.
You know, like if a restaurant, if you're like this influencers,
cause I've some like good influencers that I know and work with and I've showed them a restaurant. They're like, no, cause she's just too like skimpy or it's certain. What is something about it that they're jiving with?
Yeah.
You know, and that's their prerogative and that's fine. That's good for them, but that's not the niche. So
yeah.
I just tell them to send the application. I'd make it pretty simple.
What catches your attention when influencers are soliciting you to like reaching out to you to get on your list?
I don't
right?
know that it's one specific thing because I mean, if there's like a ton of views, I don't know. Are they paid? Is it boosted? Is it authentic? I don't know. I think I just look at the quality or the type of content it is just to see if I catch myself watching it for more than 5 seconds, right? I just have to look at it from the outsider perspective. Are you capturing me? Because if you're not, then that's not probably going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
So, I look at my stuff too. I'm neurotic. I look at my own insights, my 3 second watch rate, you know, they give you that. And mine's always pretty solid. And it's like, your reel has been watched for, I'm like, how many seconds? And then what I do, if it says like it was 8 seconds, I go back to watch my reel. I rewatch it and stop at 8 seconds. I'm like, well, I made them stop there. Why'd they stop?
Yeah.
At that spot.
I mean, that is like, I feel like that is the danger zone for when I start obsessing over, it's funny because I don't touch it for my own stuff at all. I don't give a shit about my own stuff. But on client stuff, I will obsess over why they bounced. I call it like the bounce frame. Mm-hmm. Like what about the frame made them literally swipe away? And then I'll obsess over like what it is specific. All it's crazy when the metric is like when there's like a cliff and you can't figure it out. And is it like, did they just get bored? Like what about this is boring? Because it's interesting to me.
I do all of my reels under 28 seconds if it's like a vlog.
Your stuff is so good.
Thank you.
Oh, it's so good, yeah.
If it's like vlog style, I do 28 seconds. I don't gonna watch.
You're so good because it's so authentic. And I remember the first time I met you in person, we were at Evo and it was for the Flavor Kickoff. I knew who you were before that. And I feel like you and I maybe had met socially before that.
Yeah.
But it was like the first time we had like actually like met. Yeah. You were wearing the menu dress?
Yeah.
Okay, so
no, I was wearing business cards that year.
Was business cards?
Yeah.
That's right. So, and we can kind of wrap it up with this, but tell where did you get that? Or what's the story behind that?
So my friend Kristen owns a company called Garbage Gone Glam. Look her up on Instagram. She's done national campaigns, dresses. She's done, what's the dog food? Purdue or something? That's not it.
Pedigree. Yeah.
That's a chicken, the dog.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I went to her. I was like, she came to me. I don't remember. And she was like, hey, because she works for me on Monarch. She's one of my people on Monarch. So we work together on that. Anyway, so she's super creative. And she's like, you want me to make you a dress? I'm like, I don't know. And I was like, sure, we could give this a whirl. And then our mutual friend, Jen Sampson, who's a photographer, was like, hey, let's do a photo shoot. So we go down to Worth Avenue. It's the second post. It's pinned on my Instagram.
I'm obsessed with it.
I walked down Worth Avenue wearing that dress. And if I tell you the amount of people stopped me and said, that is fabulous. Where do I get one?
Oh, I love it.
I was like, what?
I love it.
And I had a pink tutu underneath the cards because I had to give it some poof.
Yeah.
Or my butt was also going to hang out otherwise.
I was curious because it was so structured.
There's a pink tutu. And when she builds you the dress, she should build one for you.
I'd love one.
When she builds you the dress, she custom builds it on your body.
Oh, interesting.
And so the top part of it was paper bag. And then the trim of it was Flavor business cards.
Oh, interesting.
And then every single other one, we taped the business cards together. So that was the first year.
I loved it. I couldn't stop looking. I was like
Cool, right?
I think also as a creator, I just love I just love anything that you can touch. Like that is, because it was like art, right? Yeah. But then also I was just scoping out all the restaurants, like the way that you guys position the logos everywhere.
Do another one?
Yes.
Well, we are doing one this year. I just don't know what to.
You haven't done menus?
We did menus last year.
Oh, okay. I was like, that's not something I dreamt.
Last year. And then the year before that we did, it was forks and knives and spoons.
Oh yeah.
And her and I sat in my kitchen. That was a fun one. We made it together and we just taped and taped and taped and it's like spoon, fork. But then we had to put them like in a certain way so they would lay flat and look pretty.
So cool.
That was, I mean, they were all my favorite, but those two were, I think, my favorite, the business card and the fork, knife, spoon. We'll do another one this year.
Well, this year you have the fillet. You have a lot of fillets on the menu, right?
We do.
You should do a Lady Gaga meat dress.
Oh, we got to get creative with this. But my thought, so we have a dress for this year and next year and then the 20th. I still have all my dresses, by the way.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
do you have one for this year?
Yeah.
What is that?
I think so. We're not 100% sure. We're very close to getting it, figuring it out.
What is it?
I don't know yet. I'll let you know what I know.
I love
it. But the 20th, I don't even know. What are we doing? That, I'm 20s. Like, I'm already like rules. Thinking about that.
Oh my gosh. I will micro obsess over that. Like, I love.
What if we make the whole dress of actual real food, like Chiquita banana?
That's what I was thinking, like Carmen Miranda.
For the
20th? And like, you know what I'm talking about? The meat dress, right?
Yeah.
The Lady Gaga meat dress, right? Yeah. Like, you know, like a Carmen Miranda. Like, I feel like you could literally do like a food dress.
I think I need to for the 20th.
Is there any kind of food that you can, like, that is like
wearable? Coconuts?
Yeah, right?
I think we can do this. I think it's happening.
That's really funny. Okay, so thank you so much for being here. I just absolutely adore you. I could talk to you all day long. People can find flavor information where?
At flavorsouthflorida.com. That's where everything is.
And how can they reach you?
Well, they could DM me or call me. I'm pretty reachable.
Find me
at a local restaurant during happy hour. I'm around.
For them to be able to book. And by them, I mean me.
Yeah. you want to book the music?
Yeah. How do I do it?
That's a whole thing. You just call me.
Do you need to know? What do you need to know? Like what the vibe
is? I need to know like basically the venue, your budget, your genre, and the date.
Okay.
And then I then brainstorm with all that information of who's available, who's in your budget, who's awesome enough.
Can I give you all that information and then just tell you that I trust you? And like, yeah. I don't want to like listen to... Because then I'll overthink it. Like, I want to be like, yeah, just care, I trust you. Here's my budget. It. Just make sure they're there. Yeah. And then I don't want to think about it again.
Yeah. We have a wedding tomorrow that we booked.
Really? I feel like I would overthink the shit out of that. And I like,
they have the
trust your judgment explicitly. I love it. Where, September 1st, where are you personally going to go?
I'm having dinner with Brianna.
You are?
We had dinner together on September 1st last year at Echo.
Love that. At Echo?
Yeah.
Do they participate?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
So, yeah, so she'll be in town. So we're having dinner together, which I'm super excited about.
I love that.
And
where should I go September 1st?
I'll go with you. My first is open, it appears.
Oh, awesome.
So you get dibs.
Wait, can we go? Yeah, actually?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Where are we going?
Pick it.
This is so exciting. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I'm going to let Alex know that he is up
so excited.
$500 cash from the both of us. Do you think he'll actually be able to do it?
Yeah. I think if he makes an actual like schedule and takes it seriously, I think he could do it. I mean, look, I did a pretty good job last year.
I bet.
Everyone's like, are you going to make it all of them? I'm like, I'm going to try. And I did. I tried.
Love it. Try as I might. Thank you so much for being here. I just adore you.
Thank you.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.